This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Well, here we are approaching Washington Square Park in the heart of downtown Manhattan. 2018, March 8th, International Working Women's Day. And Ken, as we approach, I can begin to hear drums in the distance, and I certainly hear the spirit and the energy of people gathering to celebrate sisterhood and uplift the issues of women around the world and working women around the world. And guess what? We're all working women. Let's head on to the rally. Your sign is of great interest to me. So your sign says Filipino migrant workers resist imperialism. Yes. Damayan, I certainly know the organization. Tell us a little bit about what brings you here today and the correlation, the relationship between what you struggle around, which is the issue of Filipino migrant workers.
Sure. I'm Ria Ortiz. I'm the lead organizer and case manager with the Damayan Migrant Workers Association. We're an organization of domestic workers, caregivers, nannies, babysitters, and low-wage migrant workers here in New York City. 95% of our members are undocumented, and they're mostly low-wage laborers. So we're here because 95% of our members are undocumented and also women. You know, so from the Philippines, more than 10% of our population live abroad in more than 200 countries, you know, all over the world. You know, and why are we doing that? Because we follow the capital. U.S. imperialism has ravaged our country so much that there are no basic industries, basically no jobs. There's massive unemployment, there's abject poverty, and there's really no option, you know, for the people but to leave, you know, but to go abroad. I'm a daughter of a domestic worker, and that's my experience. And there's a whole generation of Filipinos who are growing up in the Philippines with no mothers because they're going abroad, you know, to be able to sustain the families. And then here in the U.S., expecting, you know, that they will be able to get decent jobs, but instead they're persecuted, you know, because they come here, they overstay, they become undocumented, and because there's no way for them to, there's no path of to legalization for them. So that's why the Mayan and Filipino migrant workers in New York City stand, you know, with the International Women's Strike, because our struggle is connected to all the struggles of women, you know, not just in New York City but all over the world.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You're terrific. Okay, who can I talk to about these wonderful red shirts? National Domestic Workers Alliance, one of our favorite organizations. You want to tell us about what's happening here today and the issues of domestic workers? You have a wonderful group here with bright red shirts and stuff. What are the issues of the domestic workers and the correlation between coming here on International Working Women's Day?
We know that some of the conditions that's happening in the domestic worker industry is that many workers are working extremely long hours, not being paid fairly. They're not being paid for overtime. They're also working in situations where they're abused sexually, and that's a big issue that we're facing, especially as we talk about the Me Too moment and the Me Too movement, where domestic workers are some of the workers who are experiencing these kinds of violations on the job. So today, for International Women's Day, it's important for us as the domestic worker movement here in New York to show up as a national force for the work that we're doing across the country and across the world with domestic workers all over the world.
And what do we need to understand historically about domestic work and the women who have done this for centuries?
We know that historically, especially here in the U.S., that domestic work has been excluded from labor laws across the country. And we know that in the world, that domestic work, because it's work that's mainly done by women, it's work that's excluded. So we really are here to raise the voice of the domestic worker industry to make certain that people understand that without domestic workers, the economy is not going to function.
And the role of race within the context of women, within the context, the intersectionality, if you will, with race and gender as domestic workers, what role does that play in the failure to recognize the strategic nature and the benefits and salaries and dignity on the job that should inure to domestic workers.
Yes, in the U.S. historically, because domestic work was mainly done by black women, the labor laws that were put in place excluded the sector of workers. And today we see that this work is done by mainly black folk and immigrant women who are doing this work. And we're challenging legislators so that laws are in place to protect the sector of workers. Because again, care work is the work that makes all other work possible. And if domestic workers don't show up to work in millions of homes across the country daily, this country's economy will not fuel.
And who is the fearless leader that was pointed out to me that we're speaking with?
My name is Allison Julian. I'm with the National Domestic Workers Alliance, and I'm the We Dreamin' Black chapter leader here in New York.
It's a pleasure. Wait a minute. Now, you mentioned June. Tell us about that day coming up in June.
So June 16 is known as International Domestic Workers Day across the world. So we'll definitely be celebrating along with our brothers and sisters who are doing this important work across the world.
And we'll be there with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Esperanza. So one of the things that also the issue of, I noticed there are demonstrations coming up on Puerto Rican women, political prisoners. Tell us a little bit about that on this International Working Women's Day.
Okay.
And we're with one of the premier activists for decades, Esperanza Martel.
Okay. They are on two Puerto Rican political prisoners. Nina, a young woman who is in prison because of actions against the Promesa Junta in Puerto Rico. And then Ana Belén, who is a prisoner of consciousness, who was a double agent with the United States and with Cuba. And she is basically in a military prison with little or no communication with the outside. And she's already done about 25 years. So, and as the struggle develops, there will be more political prisoners. This morning at 11 o'clock in Puerto Rico, there was a mass demonstration with people, women who have joined the international call for women to strike, and also standing strong against the junta that is strangling Puerto Rico right now. So that a political prisoner in Puerto Rico is as a result of Puerto Rico's colonial situation. And until we are able to get rid of the United States imperialistic policies, Puerto Rico's women, those political prisoners who are in jail will not be free and fully self-realized.
Esperanza Martel, thank you for being out as you always are and keeping us on the path to people's power. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, that was to women's power today. But then again, women won't have power unless we have power to the people and seize state control.
International Women's Day. What do we do? We what? That's right, it's International Women's Strike. Today we have hundreds of thousands of people who are taking to the streets in 50 countries around the world for this International Women's Strike. Drum. Daisies rising up and moving from Queens. We have workers that have been organizing against wage theft, unjustified firing, labor harassment, precarious labor and working conditions. Drum is fighting for a living wage, collective bargaining, and unionization for all people, especially the folks from South Asia. Daisy's rising up and moving. Come on up.
Are we all ready to fight?
Yes!
My name is Angshu, and I'm a working class immigrant, woman of color, a community organizer at Drum. We are a membership-led community organization of over 4,000 South Asian and Indo-Caribbean working class communities across New York City. I came to this country in 2013 as a student. I took a job as a server at a restaurant in Jackson Heights to be able to pay tuition, to make ends meet, paying rent, which in my neighborhood is almost $1,200 per month. I used to work 12 to 14 hours a day, and I was paid $25 a day for all the hours I worked. A year into being a member at Drum made me understand two things. One, my labor was extremely exploited. Two, I was not alone in this. I understood that there was something I could do about it. I could fight for what I had worked for. I filed for a back wage claim with support from Drum. That was my first fight as a worker. I won that fight after 6 months of constant struggle, which was spent explaining why I should not have been paid $2 per hour. After constantly being harassed by the owners of the restaurant, in the summer of 2015, I did a worker mapping in Jackson Heights, which gave me a picture of the working conditions of workers in my neighborhood. While all workers are paid an average of $3 per hour for a 12 to 14 hours workday, women's labor cannot be recorded with machines where they punch in their hours. Women, after having worked for hours at their workplaces, would switch to working for their children, their husbands, their brothers, sisters, and their families. That work schedule for them does not have a clock in or a clock out time. I stand here today in front of you to share my story of being a working class woman of color, and many, many stories of other working class women who have different struggles. My work at Drum in my communities made me understand what it meant to be working class immigrant women of color. I realized I was not alone in this struggle, that immigrant women, not only in this country as workers, are undervalued, but also made me see how structures of patriarchal societies have been deeply rooted everywhere in our home countries. I'm not here to only share the struggles of working class immigrant women of color, but also of our amazing leadership. Women workers like Nadira, who works as a caterer and a health aid worker, comes home to take care of two young children, her husband and a mother. Like Saima, who works at a retail store as a seamstress, comes home to her children and husband to make sure they are fed, their house is clean. Like Michelle, a young woman who goes to college, works at a restaurant, and supports her parents. Like Savita and Sherry, who fought with the immigration system of this country after their husband and brother was picked up by ICE, made sure that their children went to school, went to their respective jobs, and continued to fight for their family. Saima, Sherry, Nadira, Michelle are women leaders at Drum, who after spending countless hours at home and at their workplaces, make sure that they organize other women. But what we have in common is our collective labor. I want to end today by doing a chant with you by our sister and comrade, Asara Shakur. It is our duty to fight for our freedom!
It is our duty to fight for freedom!
It is our duty to win!
It is our duty to win!
We must love each other and protect each other!
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains.
We have nothing to lose but our chains. Thank you, Drum. Woo!
We are going to be hearing from TT Bacharati. We've got the International Women's Strike National Coalition is going to present to us. Her name is TT Bhattacharya. Let's hear it. TT.
I am so proud to stand here with striking women across the world in more than 200 countries today. Nearly 6 million people led a general strike in Spain. Millions of our sisters marched down Barcelona and Madrid chanting, "When we stop, the world stops." What did we do in Italy? Not a single train moved, not a single plane flew in Italy today. In Afghanistan, thousands of women marched down the streets of Kabul today, proving Afghan women do not need to be saved by Western bombs. They can fight for their own emancipation. Our work as women, cis women and trans women, never stops. When we withdraw our labor, everything stops. Today we withdraw our labor at home and we withdraw our labor at work. Today we strike. March 8th could not have come at a better time. I have just come back from West Virginia. Give it up for West Virginia teachers. 75% of West Virginian teachers who just led a successful wildcat strike against the legislature, 75% of the teachers of West Virginia are what? Women. And now, teachers in Oklahoma, in Arizona, nurses in New Jersey are planning to strike as well. Teachers, housekeepers, nurses, the vast majority of us are women. As women, we do more than our official jobs. In West Virginia, one of the poorest states of this country, when teachers went on strike, they took hot meals to their students. Because it's a poorest state, students often have their only hot meal of the day, the breakfast and the lunch, in school. So when the schools closed, what did the teachers do? They took hot meals to the students. Teachers are more than teachers. We are breadwinners, community organizers, we are leaders, and we are mothers. Not all our labor is visible, is it? It is made invisible by a system, by our bosses, and by the institutions that prop up this system. This is why in New York City, as you saw, the International Women's Strike Committee has been working closely with immigrant women. Women racialized and murdered by the cops and deported by ICE. Sex working women and those of us who are shunned by capitalism and yet do the heaviest work for the system. So when we march today, we are going to be marching past the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory where young immigrant textile workers lost their lives in a devastating fire. We'll be marching past the African burial ground, paying tribute to the women brought to this country in chains, whose labor created the wealth of this country, and whose deaths and murders have never been acknowledged. We will march past Stonewall, where our queer sisters and brothers struck a blow against this homophobic, racist system. We will march together. We want to create a world of universal healthcare, education, a world of robust social services, including free abortion on demand. A world without war and violence and racism. A world where we as women, cis and trans, together with the men in our lives, make decisions about our lives democratically and collectively. We all stand here on native ground. We stand here today with sisters and brothers internationally, from Palestine to Poland. And we stand here together to pledge for a feminism of the 99%. We have solidarity, the strongest weapon for us in this struggle. Are we ready?
Yes!
And we are coming.
My sister is coming up from Black Women Blueprint. Yeah! Fada Tanis from Haiti. They tried to bury us, but they didn't know that we were seeds. These words are from comrades in Mexico, my Mexican brothers and sisters. We stand with you. These words that I repeat today on International Women's Strike is being repeated in Haiti, in parts of Africa, and all parts of the global south, because they have tried, right, many times to bury us. But they didn't know that we would spring up through cracks of concrete and grow into strong oak from the margins to shine the light of truth upon them. On this particular day, with an army of a billion ancestral voices rising over and all around us, we will not disappear. The recent federal administrations, they are trying to make vital cuts to anti-rape, anti-battery, anti-stalking services programs guaranteed by the Violence Against Women Act. We are running out of places to turn as survivors for safety and justice. We know that women and girls are under siege. We absolutely have to be our own sisters keepers, our own brothers keepers. We will take care of our own, and we will persevere regardless of what our oppressors think or do. We strike here for Black survivors of sexual assault. We represent multiple generations, weaving the pieces of our lives back together, seeking justice for harm inflicted by others. Sisters and all comrades, we strike for all the girls left in back alleys, in heaps on their bedroom floors, in living room floors. We strike for those left in building hallways, in back staircases, on college campus parties. They are in our hearts. They are us, the survivors, the disappeared, the unacknowledged. And on this International Women's Strike Day, it is for the radical part of each and every one of us standing here, hungry to change this oppressive system, demanding more of not just our communities, but of this country and all our countries. We demand revolutionary spaces where there is no domestic violence, no incest, no gang rapes, no compelling victims or survivors to go to criminal justice systems to do anything which may threaten or diminish their lives or their livelihoods. We are the embodiment of legacies of liberation and healing. Today, by being here, each one of you, we are straightening our spines. And as said by Toni Cade Bambara, we are making the vision manifest, where Black women and all women across identities, all girls in particular, where all of us can speak and cry and need and mourn and rage and move from sadness to healing without suppression. Look at the one standing next to you and see the survivors of poverty, immigration raids, imprisonment, lack of health care, underpaid, not paid, abused. Together, let's send a message that we know no nation, no new culture can be brought to the fore without mobilization, without being willing to take a chance, and a willingness to risk it all. This day, we name love as truth. We celebrate the rage, the wisdom, the honor, the courage we've seen in each one of you who've walked
onto this stage and into this space, they thought they could actually bury us. We have already broken free, though, to claim all we know that we have right here now. And so, welcome to the revolution. Welcome to International Women's Day. Welcome. Thank you.
Actually, I'm lucky to find people who have been in the struggle for decades. It's 2018. Here we are in Washington Square Park. What do you think about where we're at in terms of the struggle for women and the struggle for human rights and the struggle for people's power over this fascist state? Am I partisan? Not in the least.
Well, Emily Wuyamasaki from Freedom Socialist Party. And Freedom Socialist Party is here celebrating International Women's Day, which was founded by socialist women in 1910. And it's that radical history that we really need to revive in this current movement, because I think the connections need to be made between sexual harassment, women as private property, the fact that facing sexual harassment, women who are fast food workers, women who are hotel workers, you know, who are among the most oppressed, women of color, immigrant women workers who may be afraid to come out and name their harassers because they might be deported, you know, and we need to make connections between all these issues and name our common enemy, which is the capitalist class. And so I think what's so great about International Women's Day and this International Women's Strike action is that it really is focusing on the power of women workers. Because with workers, we can really shut stuff down. And I think that, you know, we're not at the point in the United States of having a general strike yet, but each one of these actions, like today's International Women's Strike, I think does help to educate that the power of workers is ultimately what's going to challenge the ruling class and do have that common enemy.
Where are you at in terms of what sustains you as we look at really the state of the working class and their consciousness and where we are in this country in terms of not just struggle, because we certainly have struggle, but the level of struggle to understand that the final struggle and building towards that is the assumption of state power.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And I think that what's exciting is that I think that as conditions get worse under capitalism, as the crisis deepens, and which also does point to more potential for fascism rising, which we're definitely seeing since Trump's election, the ultra-right is really emboldened by Trump and his ilk. What's exciting for our part is that people are fighting back and they're saying no more. They're not standing up for the sexual harassment, the attacks on workers, the police violence in the black and other people of color communities. People are fighting back, and actually we've been organizing a campaign for an elected civilian review board with a number of other organizations and strong individual organizers, and people are wanting to do something.
Well, thanks for continuing these many years in the struggle, and la luta continua. It's good seeing you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash, and log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.